Matthew chapter 20. And actually, the last time we were together, we had looked at the rich young ruler, and we saw where his priorities were. And Peter said something to Jesus, and he said to him, "See, we've left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have?" And then the answer was given as to what they would have. And that answer was an answer that says, I'm going to give you, and the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne in his glory, Matthew 19:28, you have followed me, will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sister, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. And Jesus was talking about sacrifices that would be made. And he was talking about that sometimes it's going to be difficult to follow the master. And it's not going to be easy at times to not comply with someone who may pressure you to say, well, no, I don't want you to follow Jesus Christ. Well, no, I'm going to follow Jesus, whatever the cost is involved. But when Peter was asking the question, he says, what are we going to get out of this, is really what he was saying. Have you ever had that question in your mind? What am I going to get out of this? Matthew 19:27. That's what he says. We've left everything to follow you. Now, what are we going to get out of it? What are we going to have out of all this? And that was the question that Peter had. And Jesus then gives an answer in a parable in the next verses. You know, when I was a kid, there was 8 kids in our family. And my mother would go grocery shopping. Once a week was the big day to go grocery shopping. I think it was usually on Saturday. And so she would go, and I forget how much she would have, whatever she had in her budget. It was probably somewhere around $70 or something like that. But you could get quite a few groceries for that. But anyway, the one treat that we would get at the end of the week was they would get a few big bags of chips and some big bottles of pop. So we would have pop and chips on Saturday. And that was a big deal to get that. Now, myself and my brother, we were the 2 oldest of the 8. But I can remember when my mother would be getting the pop and putting it in the glasses. And she'd be pouring it in, trying to get it all even. And he's getting more than I am. Oh, that's not, a little more on mine, you know. But, you know, after a while, my mother got sick of that. So she went and bought the cheap pop you get in the cans, a case of pop. Well, there was 12 in there, see. So, but my brother and I were always, you know, do you think we were really concerned about making sure everybody got an equal share? Do you think that was the case?
No.
Oh, no.
We were all worried about your share.
That's right. All I cared about was my share, right? And I wasn't worried about everybody getting an equal share. I wanted as much as I could get. So I was really glad when she went to the cans of pop because there was 8 kids and 12 cans. So guess who made off with another can? Right, for sure. You know, we were always trying to see how much. And when you're older, you know, you got ways of getting your way and getting your stuff. Not a pretty picture, but that's the way it was. And you know, you don't have to just go to back in history and find that kind of attitude where everybody's always looking out for number one and seeing if they can get the most of anything. It's here today, and often, sadly, it can be in our own hearts. That we are so careful to see what the other guy is getting and making sure that we don't get gypped. And so Peter says, well, you know, we've left everything. What are we going to get? His focus was in this question was not so much on, Lord, what can I glorify you with? How can I honor you, Lord? How can I serve you? How can I love you? But it was more kind of like, what am I going to get out of this? Now, Jesus said, you're going to get 100 times more and eternal life on top of that. But then he spoke this parable in Matthew 20, verse 1. It's a lesson, a story. For the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarii a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And the denarius is a penny. Penny a day. And a penny in those days was a day's wages. It was the same as a day's wages today. So he said, if you come and work for me, I'll give you a day's wages for a day's work. Fair enough. Okay? I know today if you offered anybody a penny a day, they probably wouldn't take it, right? But in those days, money bought a lot more. So So when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarii a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing and idle in the marketplace. So remember I said that 6 o'clock in the morning is the first hour and 6 o'clock in the evening is the 12th hour of the day. And then at the night's the same idea. So the third hour would be 9 o'clock in the morning. He goes out in the marketplace. Lo and behold, there's some guys hanging around. No work. And so he saw them standing in the marketplace. And he said to them, you also go in the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you. So they went. These guys, they didn't ask how much you were going to pay them. They were just glad to get to work, right? They were just happy to be able to have some work. Maybe they had families to feed. I don't know. But they didn't say, how much are you going to pay me? They just said, we got work. Let's go. So then he went out at the sixth hour, and that would be high noon, right? And still there's some more people there. And the ninth hour, and that would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And at the 11th hour, he goes out, and there's still some guys that are there looking for work. And he said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? They said to him, because no one hired us. So he said to them, you go into the vineyard, whatever is right, you will receive. So remember, Jesus is telling a story to make a point, okay? There's a reason why he tells stories. It's so that we can get a lesson from it. So here you got somebody hired first thing in the morning. You get somebody hired at 9 o'clock in the morning. You get somebody hired at noon. You get somebody hired at 3. You get somebody hired at 5 o'clock, right? So what happens at the end of the day? Let's find out. So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. So he calls the steward comes. And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarii. They received a day's wages. Now, let's use our imagination a little bit and think about the guys that had gone to work at 6 in the morning. Right? And now here's the guys who had worked for 1 hour, and he watches them get paid a full day's wages for 1 hour. You know what would be going on in my mind if I was one of the guys that had started at 6 in the morning? Ching, 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 ching. Let's see, I just worked 12 hours. I'm going to get 12 days' wages. If those guys got a day's wages for 1 hour, think what I'm going to get. Well, and so they each received a denarii. And as a matter of fact, it seems as what he did is he paid everybody the exact same amount. And so what happens? They complain. A union is formed. That's what happens, right? When the first came, they supposed they would receive more. And they likewise received each a denarius. When they received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. Did they have a legitimate complaint? Did they? It seems they did. I mean, I would say they did. I would say I'd kind of figure that this wasn't fair, and et cetera, et cetera. But he answered them and said, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Didn't you agree? The first ones had a contract. The other ones didn't. It seems as if the other ones trusted that whatever he was going to give was going to be fair. The first one says, we want a contract here. Signed, sealed, and delivered. They got locked in their own contract, didn't they? They did. They had agreed for a penny a day. They agreed for a day's wages. They got their day's wages. He says, what does it matter to you? If I choose to give somebody more for something, that's up to me. Now, what's the lesson in this? He says this, take what is yours and go your way. If I wish to give to this last man, the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first and the first last, for many are called, few are chosen. Now, Jesus is telling this illustration to give us a concept and an understanding of the authority of God in what he does. You know, we want everybody to be equal in our world. We want everybody to get the same thing and everybody to have exactly the same. And we all would like that. I guess we would anyway. But tell me, is that real life? Is it real life at all? It isn't real life. When I went to Guatemala and stood in a dump and I watched kids run for garbage, and I thought about kids who leave, you know, we always say that to kids, you know, there's lots of hungry people, why don't you eat your, fill, clean your plate, right? It's true. It's true there are. When people who are, they'll never get out of that dump. They make their houses of garbage and they live in that garbage dump for the rest of their life. And there's not even an inkling of an opportunity for them to get out of that cycle of poverty. Is the world an equal place? It's far from it. Is everybody equal here? Listen, life's not fair. Get used to it. Am I right? It's not fair. It's not fair when we look at some people have everything and other people have nothing. Some people work hard for it and they get it. Some people don't seem to work at all and they still get it. Am I right? It's true. And have you ever had an evil eye yourself like this, like Jesus said? Have you ever looked with resentment upon what, you know, I've worked 10 times harder than that person has and they got way more than I do? I'm sure you have. I'm sure that you have. We all have. But God is teaching us something here. Jesus is teaching us something important in terms of the kingdom of God. Remember, this was because Peter had said, well, come on, well, we've left everything. What are we going to get out of this deal? That's why Jesus told the parable. Because their focus was on the temporary things, and they were thinking more in that direction. As a matter of fact, a little bit later on, just after this, Jesus talks about going to the cross. And he talks about the fact that he's going to die there and be crucified. And in the meantime, one of John's and James' mother, Salome, I believe that was her name, she gets the boys to ask a question. Who's going to be the greatest? Well, can we sit at your right hand and your left when you get your kingdom? They were vying for the best position. They were looking for the most that they could get out of the deal. Jesus was trying to tell them, trust the master. Trust what God gives to you in your life. Trust Jesus. Some people are going to be entrusted with wealth and some aren't. Some people are going to enjoy more things than you are. So what? It doesn't matter. That's not the important thing. The important thing is to trust Jesus, to surrender to Jesus and allow him to have his way in your life. Life's too short to be running around seeing who's got more than you or if you've got more than somebody else, because it works that way too, doesn't it, often? It's not going to matter who's the king of the heap. You know, I'll tell you something. The richest man on earth will die just like the poorest man on earth will die. Am I right? And he won't take a penny with him. It won't happen that way. It doesn't matter the possessions that we own. Jesus said, a man's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions. But we don't get that, and we don't think that way. How often I have heard snide remarks and comments about who's got money and who doesn't have money. And oh, they've got this and they've got that. And all that jealous streak that is in all of us, every one of us have it. I had it when I was that high. And it's still there if I don't walk with God. It's still there if I don't trust the Lord. I will always be looking in the wrong place. And that's what Jesus actually challenged them with. He said, is your eye evil because I am good? We probably don't think of that as an evil eye. This jealousy, this looking at what somebody else has. You know, the Bible tells us that we can experience the riches of heaven and the joy of heaven. And the beauty of the kingdom of God and the things of the kingdom of God is that they're free. Is that God wants to liberally pour the true riches into our souls. Does he not? And what are those true riches? What are they? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. They're the real riches. They're the riches to go for. But guess what? There is no limit to those riches being offered to you. Man, if you want to be rich, go to Jesus. If you want to experience the true riches, come to Him. But the beauty of this too is that you don't have to hoard this. You don't have to say, He's got more than I got. Right? You can say, have some more. It's free. There's no M. Jesus promised a wellspring of water springing up into everlasting life. He promised His Holy Spirit. He promised His life. He promised His love, His peace, His power, His gentleness, His kindness. All of that is the nature of God, and He wants to pour that nature into all of us. The other stuff doesn't matter. I know we got to eat. I realize that. But that's not the heart issue of our lives. And when we focus on that, God calls it an evil eye, when that becomes our focus. Can I encourage you not to go in that direction? Because jealousy is what rises up. Jealousy for others. It's so easy to become jealous. What people get away with. Somebody gets away with something. That's not right. They shouldn't get away with that. They're going to get away with a lot of stuff in this world. People are going to do wrong and they're not going to be held to account for it until they meet the Maker. Everything will get settled in the end. Don't worry. Nobody escapes the eye of God. And those who have done wrong, the Bible says they're going to give an account for it. But you know, He says something pretty amazing here. He says, the last will be first and the first will be last. For many are called and few are chosen. He actually said the same thing back in chapter 19. Many who are first will be last and the last first. You see that pattern even for the Jews. The Jews had been given so much blessing. They had been offered the truths of the kingdom of God before the Gentiles were, the non-Jews. But they rejected the Master. So here comes along the Gentiles, the latecomers, and they're getting the blessing, and the Jews were missing it because they wouldn't trust in God, because they wouldn't come to Him. Anyone can receive a blessing. And you know, in the end, if you stop and look at this here, everybody got the same amount, didn't they? Didn't they? They all got the same amount. Some people thought they worked more, so they deserved more, but they all ended up getting the same amount. And I'll tell you what, the ground, I've said this before 1,000 times, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. God distributes His grace and His mercy to everyone. Take it and rejoice in it. But what if somebody else has a better gift than I do? What if, oh, that person can pray and I can't seem to pray like they can pray, so, oh, you know, it's not fair. Right? Or that person can preach and I don't preach like, I can't preach like that. Or that person can sing and I can't carry a tune in a bucket. That's not fair. Did you know that in the kingdom of God, that what's yours is mine? That's right. Well, that person has more money than I do. Hey, did you know in the kingdom of God, what's yours is mine? Uh-oh. Getting touchy now. And that's what mine is yours? Did you know that in the book of Acts chapter 2, they had everything in common? That they looked after one another? That they made sure that nobody was lacking? That people cared for one another? That there's this sense of belonging to one another? That doesn't mean that you can't manage your own wealth. Of course you can. And if you have more wealth and God gives you the wisdom to manage it, it doesn't mean that you throw it all away. It doesn't mean that you give it to somebody who's going to take it and waste it on something. But it means that we have a sense of that God owns everything that I have. And God owns my life. God owns my wealth. God owns everything. And I'm surrendering to Him with it all. And I'm not jealous about what somebody else has or doesn't have. I don't have to go there anymore. I don't have to think that way. God sets us free from that. The cross takes us into a whole new kind of living. A kind of living where our focus is not on the temporary, but on the eternal. Where our focus is on not on the temporary riches, but the true riches that come from God. We want to watch out for the evil eye. You know, there's a great illustration of that when we come to Luke's gospel. Now, in Luke's gospel, you know the story of the prodigal son, right? You've heard that story? Two sons. One son says, Father, I want my inheritance. I want to get out of here. I want to go as far as I can. Give me my money. The other older son, he stays put. Works with his father in the field. Works hard. Day in, day out. The younger son boots it. Gone. What does he do? Parties it all away. Every last penny. to where does he end up? Where does he end up? In a pigsty first. Now, remember, Jesus is telling this story to Jews. And Jews and pigs don't get along. Sorry, Percy. Jews and pigs don't get along. They don't eat pigs. They don't feed pigs. They don't keep pigs. Right? So Jesus is telling this story to Jewish people. And you can imagine when he says he ends up in a pigsty feeding pigs, they're going, bad enough. But that's the lowest of the low. And he's got nothing else to eat but pig food. That's where he ends up. He comes to his senses. He realizes, I've blown it. Oh, my father's servants got more than enough to spare. And here I am perishing with hunger. He says, I'm going to rise. I'm going to go to my father. I'm going to say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. Make me one of your hired servants. So he runs. That is in Luke chapter 15, but I'm summarizing the first part of it. Yeah, it's before Luke 15. I'm telling you what it says. And is it 11? Okay, I can't remember the verse number. Okay, I'm just doing that for an introduction part of it. So he comes back to his father, and the wonderful thing here is the father's been looking for that lost son. He cares about the lost son. The other son is busy working in the field. But he cares about the lost son too. And he's looking down the road for the lost son. And he sees him. And the Bible says he goes running to him. He falls on his neck and he kisses him. And the guy starts his speech, but he never gets it out. He can't even finish the speech. He just wanted to become a hired servant. He just wanted some food. And the father says, kill the fatted calf. Get the best robe. Put a ring on his finger. Put shoes on his feet. This, my son, was lost. And he's found. He was dead and he's alive again. And he brings him in. And they start up having a party. And all the servants get everything ready. And they're in there just partying away. And everybody's so glad the lost son is found. Oh boy. But the elder son, out working in the hot fields. And he comes home and he's hot and tired. And he's been working and working year in, year out. And he comes back down and he hears a big party going on. And what's this noise? What's going on? He says to a servant. The servant says, your brother's back. Oh, yeah. Your brother. And the father's killed a fatted calf and he's making merry. You think the older brother was happy? Oh, no. Oh, he was upset. He wouldn't go in. He would not go in. So that's what it says. Now, his older son was in the field, and he came, drew near to the house, Luke 15:25, and he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. What's going on in there? And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. So his father came out. His father came out and pleaded with him. Pleaded with him. Come on, son. Your brother's back. He said to his father, look, these many years I've been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. He says, I've done everything right. And you didn't kill the fatted calf for me. And here, you never even gave me a goat. And here your son, as soon as this son of yours comes, and he has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed a fatted calf for him. He said to him, son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Now Jesus was telling this story to illustrate that same problem that we can have. You see, that older son didn't understand the father at all. He could have killed 1,000 goats. He thought that he was just there to work for his father. And he missed the love of his father. He didn't see the love of his father. He didn't see that it was all his already. All that I have is yours, son. You could have killed a calf anytime you want. You could have killed a goat. You could have had a party. You just didn't want to. You thought that you were some kind of slave here. You had all the rights to enjoy all that I have for you, but you missed it all. Maybe because he was resentful that the other son was gone.
and had taken all that money and was doing whatever he wanted with it. And here I am. So here he is. Says he would not go in. And the father pleaded with him. You know, it's amazing sometimes how God works. Think about a dying thief next to Jesus. What did he do to earn favor with God? What did he do? Not a thing. Is that fair? What about somebody who followed the Lord and got, you know, maybe got in trouble over it and did the best that he could for years and years and laboring and working hard for Jesus? You know, and this dying thief lives any way he wants to. Wicked man, suddenly there he is on a cross. He's ready to die, not getting off of there. Mocks Jesus. He made fun of Jesus. He did, along with the other guy. And then suddenly he comes to his senses. He realizes, I'm in deep do here. I'm in real trouble. He speaks to the other thief and he says, you better be quiet. He said, you know, we're getting what we deserve here. But this guy, Jesus, has done nothing wrong. He stops mocking him and starts defending Jesus. And then he turns to Jesus and he says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's all. That's all. No good deeds to lift up. No long train of, this is all I've done for God. He just says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What does Jesus say to him? You dirty, rotten thief. You've been rotten all your life. You think you're going to get in at the last second? Is that what he said? Does that sound fair? Probably sounds more fair to say with Jesus, what I said, he might have said. He says, Lord, he says, today, he says to him, you'll be with me in paradise. Just like that. Just like that. Wow. Talk about the last being first. Isn't that what happened there? That's what happened there. Isn't that what happened with the prodigal son? That's what happened there. And friends, God can do what he wants with whatever he has. He's God, you're not. Get used to it. He can give and he can take away. He can bless and he can take away a blessing. He can allow things to happen in our lives that we don't like, or he can allow things to happen that we do like. He's God. He has every right to. But let me tell you this. You can trust him. You can trust him even if hard things come in your life. You can trust him if sickness comes. You can trust him if poverty comes. You can trust him if you've been gypped. Or you can trust him if you've been received great wealth. You can trust him either way. He is trustworthy. He knows what's coming. He has a bigger picture in mind. I've said this before to you. God is more interested in your holiness than your happiness. Sometimes he's going to make you miserable. But sometimes you need to be made miserable. Because it'll turn you in the right direction. Listen, far better to come to a point of trouble and trial in your life and come to know God than to go through life on beds of ease and die in a feather pillow bed and with all kinds of attendants around you and everything hunky-dory and wind up in the flames of hell. Wouldn't it be better? Better. A little trouble sometimes is not a bad thing. Trust God. Trust God. And so we can see that in the story that we read in this situation. Oh yeah, there's another story here in John chapter 21. Here's Peter, and this is at the end of his journey. After Jesus Christ had actually risen from the dead. And Jesus says this, most assuredly, he says to Peter, when you were younger, John 21:18, is that right? Okay. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you gird yourself and walk where you wish. You put a belt around yourself, you walk where you want to go. But when you are old, you'll stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish to go. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. So Jesus tells Peter, I want to let you know something. I'm going to let you in on a secret. You're not going to die an easy death. That was a long time to come, but he told him that's what's going to happen. He told him by what death he would glorify God. And as far as we know, Peter was crucified upside down. They took him to crucify him, and he said, I won't be crucified the way my Lord was crucify me upside down. And so Jesus told Peter, I'm telling you what's going to happen to you, Peter. And when he said this to him, he said, follow me. Well, gee, isn't that nice? I'm going to tell you how you're going to die for me. And it's not going to be very pretty, Peter. Now I want you to follow me. Trust me, Peter. Trust me. You know, sometimes we encourage people to come to Jesus and trust the Lord because everything's going to be perfect from now on when you trust God. Everything's going to fall in your lap. It's going to be, oh, roses all around. That's not true, is it? No. The Bible says God causes the rain to fall on the just as well as the unjust. You're going to have troubles. And sometimes you're going to get more troubles than you would if you didn't follow the Lord. That's true. But you're going to have God in the midst of those troubles. I would sooner have trouble and have God with them than have no trouble and not have the Lord. We're all going to have troubles anyway. He said, follow me. But then Peter says this. Then Peter, turning around, he saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, the one who had leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? That was John who had said those things. Peter, seeing John, said, but Lord, what about this man? What about him? Jesus said to him, if I will that he remains till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. See, Peter was looking at the other person. Okay, you're telling me how I'm going to die. Well, what about him? What about him? What about him? Hey, what about him? He says, listen, it's my business. It's my business. Trust God. Trust God with yourself, but trust God with others too. Trust him. He is faithful. He's faithful. How God does things and how God saves people. Listen, I am so glad if I could go to someone's deathbed and I can, and I have done this and seen people in their last days, in their last hours, sometimes in their very last, to breathe out a cry out to God for mercy. I am so glad to have that happen. Does it matter how they've lived? Not to me. We're all sinners. Nobody's any better than anyone else anyway. Doesn't matter. You can strive to be the best person all your life, but you're still a sinner and you need a Savior. And I just thank God anyone can call on the name of the Lord and be saved. So there's lots of people are going to have what you don't have. Lots of people are going to enjoy things you're not going to enjoy. So what? You follow Jesus Christ. Follow him. Follow him whatever things get, if the things get bad or things get worse, things get better or things don't. Follow Jesus Christ. Trust the Lord. Give him your heart. Give him your soul. And allow him to be the Lord of your life and the Lord of every circumstance. And you will find you won't be bothering with the evil eye, looking to see what other people have or don't have anymore. Instead, you'll have an eye of love and care and mercy. You'll be glad that somebody could come at the 11th hour and be saved. You'll be glad if somebody can get a blessing in their life. You'll rejoice with somebody if they get into some money. You'll say, oh, that's wonderful. Not, oh, I wish I had it. And oh, what freedom that can bring to your soul. Let me encourage you. God's ways are really weird, aren't they? They're so different than the way the world thinks. But that is the way of God. And that is what he offers it to us. And he offers his ways. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Let's line up with him and discover the mercy of God. Because you know, in the end of the story, you don't deserve any more than the dying thief. You really don't. We got our own idea of what we deserve. We don't deserve anything. Everything we get is because God is good to us. You don't earn the right to be with God. It's a free gift that he gives to us through his son, Jesus Christ. Let's run to Jesus. Trust in Jesus. And well, I'll tell you, it'll free up a lot of useless thinking, a lot of angst, a lot of anger, a lot of bitterness, a lot of hatred, a lot of envy, and a lot of jealousy. Because I can tell you, the world's full of it, and sometimes we are too. May God deliver us, and may we see things the way God sees them. Let's pray. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you, Lord, that it's very practical. And thank you, Lord, that you want to speak into our lives about what's important and what isn't. Open our eyes, O God. Lord, thank you for every good thing that you give to anyone. Let's rejoice in what others have and give you praise for what we do have. and give you thanks, Lord, that you have given us the greatest gifts, and that is your Son, Jesus Christ, and eternal life. Thank you, Lord, that this is free, and we can liberally share the gospel with anyone, and that they too can enter in. Lord, we ask for your blessing on each of us and on this community. And Lord, we pray for your blessing on, maybe there's some, Lord, that we've had an evil eye towards today. And we ask you personally for each of ourselves, we pray, Lord, bless them. Bless them. Lord, maybe the person that we might be the angriest at or the person that we might feel the most offense towards, we want to ask you to bless them today. We ask you to bring them to Jesus, to give them eternal life, to help them to see so that their eyes might be open, they might be saved. We don't want anybody in hell. We really don't. So we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.